luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleepmaker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support, and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. Sleepmaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. Sleepmaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in store and online.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, Microsoft slashes thousands of jobs. Are companies investing too much in AI? And reporting season's coming up. We preview it. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 7th of July 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.3%. We'll have the details soon with Piers Bolger from Infinity Asset Management. But first, let's go to Microsoft. It says that we're cutting nearly 5,000 jobs, or 2.1% of its workforce. Its chief people officer saying the roles being eliminated aren't being replaced by AI, but acknowledged that the technology is changing how work gets done. Now, the majority of the layoffs are from the company's Xbox gaming division, but it will impact some Australian jobs, although it's not known how many will go. Microsoft, like many of its peers, is redirecting money to AI, largely on data centres, as investors across the world ask if global corporations are over-investing in the technology. It's something I asked today's expert about, as the S&P ASX 200 gave up 0.33%. The miners and energy stocks were down, the banks rose, while a tech rally here was driven by WiseTech. Its founder Richard White confirmed he's resigning as the company's chairman, saying recent personal media attention is creating an unnecessary distraction for the business. So for more on the day's moves and for his take on what's next for the market, I spoke with Piers Bolger. He's the Chief Investment Officer from Infinity Asset Management. Piers, so a soft couple of days for the Australian share market. What's driving investor sentiment at the moment?
Yeah, it has been probably, as you say, a soft start to the new financial year. But I think if we look through more broadly, the second quarter was actually a really solid period for particularly the ASX, but we also saw some very strong investment performance out of global markets as well, including emerging markets. And that was after a difficult first quarter where, you know, the market was down roughly around about 1.5%. And we saw that solid rebound through the second quarter where the ASX 200 was up, over 4% over the period. So I think the early start to this new financial year probably reflects a little bit of that profit taking that we've seen. We've seen some of the sectors that, certainly weren't as the standouts throughout the second quarter, healthcare, financials and the like, really, as I said, lead the charge in the early part of, this new financial year. I think the other element associated with it is also what we've seen in regards to, the budget changes and the implications that might mean for investors as well. So I think there's certainly been some level of rotation in portfolios, but all in all, from our perspective, even though it has been a soft start, a very solid second quarter after what was a pretty difficult first 3 months of this year. And our market really was reflecting what we saw globally as well. As I said, some strong performance out of global equity markets by and large.
Speaking of global equities, the market's on the lookout for any indication of the future direction of US interest rates. The Fed's latest board meeting minutes will be out later this week. Do you think a rate rise is on the cards?
I think it's a really interesting read what will be coming through. I think that what we'd probably say at the moment, if you're looking at inflationary expectations globally, certainly above central bank targets, and in the US it's no different. The quite sharp decline in oil prices has probably given the Fed a little bit more time. Equally, obviously, the labour force data that we saw last week also provides a little bit more flexibility for the Fed. I think what's most interesting is the comments coming out of Kevin Warsh, new Fed chair, around his desire to shrink the balance sheet. So I think that by and large, if he can achieve that, I think that's going to be pretty difficult, certainly in the near term. That's basically going to be taking liquidity out of the system, and in effect may create sort of the rate rise that isn't necessarily the rate rise. US cash rates at 3.75, certainly below what we've seen here locally. So there is potential if inflationary expectations remain elevated, they may have to do something. As I said, certainly I think they'd look to shrinking the Fed balance sheet first and foremost, and then potentially a rate rise as a worst case option. If it was to occur, we'd certainly say at the back end of this year. As I said, most recent data points does give the Fed a couple of more meetings of flexibility around that.
If we do see those sorts of outcomes, does it still make the US an attractive investment opportunity? We know that, for example, the S&P 500 rose about 20% last financial year. Emerging markets in particular did even better. The likes of South Korea's KOSPI up around 150. Even today, I think we heard from Samsung say that it's expected to post something like an 80 or 90 billion-dollar quarterly profit, right? What's your take on these overseas and emerging markets?
Yeah, I mean, if you tell it, you're right. I mean, and Samsung's an interesting one. Even despite obviously the size of its result, the stock was down 6%. Investors are wanting more out of that memory chip market side of things. And Samsung, Micron Technologies, obviously out of the US, as well as SK Hynix, are the leaders in that sort of memory chip side of things as it relates to AI. Look, if you look from our point of view, the US continues to be the bellwether economy. Despite obviously the challenges that we've seen, particularly in terms of sort of energy prices and the like, the US continues to power on, clearly led by the AI thematic. Valuations, though, if you're just taking the S&P 500 at sort of 22 times forward earnings, that's well above what we're seeing in emerging markets, which are, roughly around about 12 to 13 times. So it's one of the reasons from a portfolio standpoint, from our perspective, we continue to think that the opportunity set in emerging markets is there. And global equities, even outside the US, you're looking at sort of multiples around about 17 to 18 times, which is sort of not inconsistent with what we're seeing here domestically. So the US valuations are at the upper end of what we our fair value range, but the opportunity set is still there. But we just think investors need to be mindful of where they're positioning their investments. As I said, there is some still growth, reasonable growth opportunities out of other parts of the global equity sphere, and that's certainly our take on it. Global small to mid caps, again, offering some of those investors that chance, as I said, get access to the secondary elements associated with that AI thematic, without necessarily just investing in those companies that have particularly run significantly hard. As I said, Micron Technologies is a really good example of that, along with, as you say, SK Hynix and Samsung on the South Korean side of things.
So if they've run too hard, these types of AI companies, is it chased by AI, but AI is changing how work gets done? What's your take?
Well, I think it is changing how work is being done. I think the biggest challenge for investors at the moment, if you look through the CapEx spend, the numbers are, off the charts. I mean, for example, you can look through something close to about $650 billion being spent on sort of the data center CapEx spend this calendar year. That's moving, depending upon sort of the statistics you look at, $1.5 trillion next year. The numbers are enormous. So from an investor's point of view, are they getting the return on that investment? So from our point perspective, we certainly think the AI thematic is real. But to your point, and it's a valid one, is, are investors, are they late to the party? So again, I think the element that we're really thinking about within our portfolios at the moment, how can you get a second order effect by getting exposure? So it might be companies that are dealing into data centers themselves. So Megaport is a case in point here domestically. It might be, again, the users of the AI, Pro Medicus, PME, again, another example around how they're utilizing AI in terms of their individual businesses. So it's not necessarily that you need to be investing directly in the NVIDIAs, the Microns, et cetera, of this world, SK Hynix, et cetera, that have run pretty hard. There's no doubt about that. But you can get that knock-on second derivative effect that I think, from our perspective, we see as the opportunity. Again, it'll be interesting to see how these businesses and the earnings profile of these businesses come through over time, and whether or not the investment and the pricing of those companies does reflect that when you start to look through those longer term earnings profile. Again, that's, everyone will have a different view around that. As I said, we prefer to take a more cautious approach, but we're certainly of the view that the thematic is real. Interesting one on Microsoft, as you make mention. Again, I think that, you get these headline numbers. In part, a little bit from our point of view is obviously the Xbox and its view around Xbox. And obviously, sales went through the roof when we were all in lockdown and COVID. Everyone was at home gaming. As we've moved out of COVID, and that sort of pivoted. And so certainly the sales haven't been there. So I think that it's been a smart move, arguably by Microsoft, in regards to where they want to basically spend their chips, so to speak. And as I said, AI memory chips and the demand for AI memory chips has only increased. So if they're not getting the sales coming through their gaming side of their business, plus you've got increased costs, particularly around, as I said, video graphics and obviously the memory, it does make sense for them to pivot to, more accretive elements. And again, I think that's a reflection to your point around, can these large AI tech-related companies, can they continue to spend without necessarily getting that return on investment? So I think it's a smart move by Microsoft more broadly in the way that they're trying to position and focus, the business.
What are you keeping an eye on?
Well, I think the thing around local reporting season heading into it is, do you sort of get, those out of cycle sort of comments or results coming from corporate updates and the like, just heading into reporting season? So it's been quite benign to date, certainly across the companies and our parts of the portfolio. So that for us is the most important element. The second one there, we've seen that certainly some of the macro data come through. What does it then mean potentially looking forward in regards to the outlook statements from corporates as they come to market? Again, that's always very interesting. The data's already baked in terms of, the earnings and the like. So very much built around what their outlook statements are around the overall health and strength of the domestic economy, where they're actually spending either OpEx or CapEx spend. So you talk about AI, if they are spending in this part of the landscape, and pretty much every corporate will be mentioning AI on multiple occasions during their earnings results. Are they getting the return benefit from that in regards to their earnings that they're putting into it? So, those types of thematics are certainly the key elements that we're looking for as we head into reporting season.
Just finally and quickly, what are you kind of telling your clients at the moment, and where do you see the other opportunities for investors?
Yeah, look, we're remaining pretty constructive. Made mention before, obviously, equity market valuations, particularly out of the US, are at the top end. What we're really saying from a client perspective is that you need to be, we're maintaining an overweight to growth, but where we are maintaining our overweight positions, as I said, emerging markets, we continue to see opportunities in broad emerging markets, both in terms of the opportunity set as well as valuation. Small to mid-cap, both domestic and global, we're seeing attractive valuation opportunities as well as the investment side of things. And then, other parts of the market. So we haven't really spoken about sort of the fixed income credit parts of the market, but we are starting to see, as I said, particularly as we've seen bond yields move higher over the last sort of, 3 to 6 months, particularly at the long end of the curve, we are seeing some opportunities for investors to, reposition parts of their income portfolio into that part of the market. So arguably, from our perspective, when we're looking at our multi-asset portfolios, we're probably at the most balanced that we've been across our asset allocation framework for some time. But notwithstanding that, as I said, overall, we continue to maintain that growth bias, continue to favour global equities over domestic equities. But it really is trying to, as I said, balance out some of those other opportunities that we are seeing. It's just, as I said, the timing around that over time.
Piers Bulger there, the Chief Investment Officer at Infinity Asset Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Give it a like, subscribe and review it if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close, and I'll catch you then.
Shooting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact...
Luxury starts every night with a great night's sleep. Discover the Sleep Maker Luxury Collection. First class sleep, available only at Harvey Norman. Proudly Australian made, the Mayfair and St Regis mattresses are thoughtfully crafted to deliver exceptional comfort, premium support and the luxury of truly undisturbed sleep. SleepMaker's latest sleep technology, Q4, eliminates partner disturbance, enhances airflow, and conforms more precisely to your body, so you fall asleep easier, sleep cooler, and sleep deeper, creating the perfect sleep sanctuary in your own home. Because luxury isn't just how a mattress feels, it's how you feel when you wake up. SleepMaker Luxury, exclusively at Harvey Norman. Shop in-store and online.